A salute to freedom. Freedom won and freedom yet to be won. This day, November 15th, is the 7th anniversary of the creation of the Commonwealth of the Philippines. In observance of this day, the chief executives of three of the United Nations, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt of the United States, General Manuel Avila Camacho, President of the Republic of Mexico, and President Manuel L. Quezon of the Commonwealth of the Philippines, speak to the world. When the Philippines became a Commonwealth 7 years ago, provision had been made by an act of the United States Congress for its complete independence in 1946. There was no Atlantic Charter at that time, but the die was cast even then for a principle of freedom and democracy and brotherhood, a principle very much alive in the Philippines today, even in the shadow of the invader. In Washington, D.C. this afternoon at the Shoreham Hotel, members of the diplomatic corps, United States senators and representatives, and high government officials are present to salute the brave people whose homeland now lies temporarily beneath the Japanese heel, and to pay tribute to the idea which 7 years ago became reality. The Philippine Islands stretch for 1,150 miles on the far side of the Pacific. Their land area is about the same as that of the British Isles. Their people are hard-working and sturdy, with an inborn love of freedom. Their home is a land of great mountains and dense tropical forests, but mostly it is a land of farms and farmers. Here the banana tree and the coconut and papaya bear fruit all year round. Sugar and corn are in abundance, as are tobacco and pineapple, and the great staple crop of rice. One of the most popular of Filipino folk songs is called Planting Rice. The people sing it as they work in the rice fields under the tropical sun. It is sung now by Miss Anya Gonzalez, accompanied by Mr. Rodolfo Conejo at the piano. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a man who dreamed of liberty and never let his dream fade. A man who fought for freedom and is still fighting for freedom today. The President of the Commonwealth of the Philippines, Manuel L. Quezon.
Distinguished guests, 1 year ago today, foreseeing that the United States would be involved in the war, I stated publicly that in such an eventuality, the Filipino people would stand by the United States and fight by her side to the bitter end. 21 days later, Japan treacherously attacked the Philippines, and the world has witnessed what the Filipinos have done in defense of their country and of the American flag. They shed their blood just as willingly and heroically as their American comrades did. The Battle of the Philippines has not ended, and will not end until the Japanese are thrown back and defeated. In one sense, the battle has already been won. It was won before it began. Japan has waged this war under the delusion that all the peoples of the so-called Greater Asia would accept willingly her sovereignty. In the Philippines, at least, the Japanese have learned their lesson at no small cost. Under the existing laws, the President of the United States had the power, when war became imminent, to call into the service of the United States all the organized armed forces of the Philippines. But President Wilson, President Roosevelt did not do this. The Filipino people, of their own initiative and free will, place at the disposal of the President not only our army, but all our manpower and everything we had. Our decision was the seasoned fruit of a wise and fair-minded policy that has characterized our association with the United States. Look back over our past relationship. Right after the American-Spanish War, President McKinley said that the United States went to the Philippines not to conquer, but to liberate. William Howard Taft, the first civil governor of the Philippines, expressed that same idea when he asserted, "The Philippines for the Filipinos." Later, President Theodore Roosevelt spoke of gradually increasing self-government for the Filipino people, which he asserted must end either in self-government, meaning a sort of dominion status, or in complete independence, as the people of the Philippines and the people of the United States might decide to be best for their common good. In 1916, the Congress, with approval of President Wilson, enacted the Jones Law, which promised independence when a stable government could be established by Filipinos. 18 years later, the Independence Act was passed, fixing the date for the recognition of the Philippine Republic and authorizing the establishment in the meantime of the present government of the Commonwealth. Those are the historic facts that stand out in the long relationship between the people of the United States and the people of the Philippines. They are not dull, dry items fit only for the ledger of history. They are among the most inspiring events since the dawn of civilization, for they are symbols of human faith and understanding. They are proof that human beings of different races can learn to live and let live, that they can help with one another with mutual respect and confidence. When President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Churchill signed the Atlantic Charter, we, the Filipinos, saw nothing brand new, untested, or visionary in that historic document, but rather a reaffirmation of faith in what had already been accomplished in the Philippines. Our country has been the testing ground for the practical solution of the problems that must be met by people aspiring to be free and independent. with the generous help and cooperation of the government of the United States, we have bridged in two generations the wide span from oppression to freedom. We offer the record of the Philippines as an answer to anyone who would consider the Atlantic Charter illusory or impractical. It is a signpost for all mankind to read. It is the factual evidence of what can and should be done everywhere and for every people. It points to a goal that can be reached however long and hard the road may be. This record has proven that the doctrines of democracy are practical and hard-headed. They have met the most crucial of all tests, war. When the Japanese invaded the Philippines, they found a people standing together in defense of their country, not just the small army of the United States fighting alone in defense of their own flag. The bulk of MacArthur's force was predominantly Filipino, and our people fought because they had a future worth fighting for and to death. The war record of the Filipino people bears a glorious testimony to the difference between freedom and oppression, between the principle of human equality and the exploded idea of race superiority. That is why our Commonwealth Day this year is more than a Philippine anniversary. It is an anniversary pregnant with a message for the whole human race. It is a day to pay tribute to the heroes of the Battle of the Philippines, those who died and those who fought to utter exhaustion. It is a day to honor every Filipino, whether he is now under the heel of the invader or is still free in the mountains of Luzon and Visayas and in the jungles of Mindanao, but whose soul accepts no defeat and is ready for the final fight. It is a day for the world to mark, because it is a reminder that 7 years ago, the principles of the Atlantic Charter were being applied with wisdom and foresight. For all the teeming millions aspiring to be free, it is a day of hope and encouragement. To the great peoples of Latin America, this anniversary should have a particular meaning, for we Filipinos are bound to them by unbreakable ties of history and Latin culture. Especially with Mexico, our association has been close in the past, for we were governed by Spain for many long years from the ancient capital of Mexico. And this year, generations later, the Republic of Mexico and the Commonwealth of the Philippines signed the Declaration of the United Nations on the same day. Because of this, I have invited the President of Mexico, General Manuel Avila Camacho, to honor us by speaking over the radio from Mexico City. We shall hear his voice in a few minutes. The people of the United States, I have this special message to convey. We have lived with you in friendship for many years, and now we have died with you. Our friendship is sealed in the blood of heroes. This makes it sacred and forever lasting. President Roosevelt is our guest of honor in absentia today. He is so close to our hearts that we feel his presence and his encouragement. His deep regard for the rights and welfare of the Filipino people has never faltered. His abiding faith in human freedom has always been a source of inspiration and confidence. He signed the Independence Act in 1934 and he signed the Atlantic Charter in 1941. They are, in essence, one and the same. It is my privilege to tell you that the President will address us over the radio at the closing of this program. Just one more word, a word of greeting to the United Nations, and I am done. Our victory is more evident now than ever before. In Africa, the United Nations forces have taken the offensive. I pray that this terrible human carnage may soon cease. It is my fervent hope that our victory will mean the ultimate liberation of all people in Europe and the Americas, in Asia and in Africa and in the vast Pacific area. That, to me, is the only goal worth all the sacrifice and the suffering of this global war.
Ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem of the Philippines. Next speaker is General Manuel Avila Camacho, President of Mexico, a nation whose past and present are linked with the Philippines. President Avila Camacho will speak to us in Spanish, and an English translation will accompany his remarks. From Mexico City, ladies and gentlemen, the President of Mexico.
Es para mí un motivo de honda satisfacción el dirigir un mensaje de solidaridad y de cálida simpatía al esforzado pueblo filipino y a su ejemplar presidente, el señor Don Manuel Quezon, cuya vida, primero como revolucionario...
The President of Mexico pays tribute to the bravery of the Filipino people and their president, Manuel Quezon, for resisting the treacherous attack of the Japanese and for his courage in the struggle to attain the political freedom of his countrymen.
A la terrible agresión de los japoneses. Cuando los mexicanos pensamos en las islas filipinas, nos vemos precisados a remontar una corriente magnífica de recuerdos. Uno de nuestros estados, el de Jalisco, reivindica en cierto modo el honor de la promoción de ese fecundo archipiélago a la civilización occidental.
President Avila Camacho points out the close sympathy and cultural kinship which has existed between Mexico and the Philippines since early colonial days, when Mexico sent many settlers to the islands.
Es así como México y la comunidad filipina se hallan irrevocablemente unidos en las raíces mismas de su existencia. Desde entonces,
the president of Mexico points out that Mexico and the Philippines share the Latin culture and that they are irrevocably united in their existence. He declares that the Filipino people have always been the outpost of American civilization in Asia.
La tormenta se desencadenó sobre ese baluarte. Una tras otra, sus hermosas ciudades fueron arrasadas por la metralla. La humanidad estremecida de indignación asistió a la defensa enérgica de Bataan, en que las tropas filipinas, asociadas a las norteamericanas, pelearon bajo la dirección del general MacArthur, y el día en que cayó el corregidor...
The president of Mexico reminds the world of the heroic defense of the Philippine nation and by General MacArthur's small force of Americans. He declares that humanity will never forget this demonstration of national strength on the part of the Filipino people.
En todas las ocasiones en que un pueblo se encara valientemente con el destino, su resolución inspira el respeto y obliga a la admiración. Pero cuando la adversidad fustiga a quien no tiene baldón para merecerla, el sentimiento de la justicia revela al hombre y le hace condenar con horror a los agresores. Lejos de haber sido estéril, el dolor filipino aparecerá más bien como el precio de la victoria que se vislumbra.
President Avila Camacho says that the sacrifices of the Filipino people, far from being futile, gave the forces of democracy time to organize, and that when victory is finally won, the Filipino people will have played a heroic part in winning it.
Tendremos el restablecimiento de la concordia y tendrá derecho a verse reconocida en la dignidad a que tan alto título corresponde. Al proclamar que las democracias no buscan engrandecimientos territoriales, la Carta del Atlántico es una garantía de que el principio de la gradual eliminación de las colonias saldrá del presente conflicto más luminoso y más fuerte que nunca.
The President of Mexico declares that the Philippine Commonwealth represents an already successful application of the Atlantic Charter, and that the principle of gradual elimination of colonies will emerge from this conflict stronger and more definite than ever. The Philippine Commonwealth will constitute, after victory, one more star in the constellation of the republics of a free world.
Exaltadas por el esfuerzo de la contienda, las islas filipinas constituirán entonces un estado más en la constelación de las repúblicas libres de un mundo nuevo. Augurándolo así,
President Avila Camacho concludes his address with the hope that the suffering and sacrifices of the Filipino people will be recompensed by an early victory by the United Nations. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mexican national anthem.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Friends of the United Nations, though the alien flag of a treacherous aggressor flies temporarily over the Commonwealth of the Philippines, it is with supreme confidence in ultimate victory that the United Nations commemorate this birthday of its youngest member. It was just 7 years ago that this Commonwealth was established. By that time, the United States had maintained sovereignty of the Philippine Islands for more than 30 years. But as I said in 1935, when the present Commonwealth was inaugurated, the acceptance of sovereignty was but an obligation to serve the people of the Philippines until the day they might find themselves independent and take their own place among the nations of the world. Let me go back to the days when Admiral Dewey won the Battle of Manila Bay and American sovereignty was established over the islands. To a very large part of the American people, it seemed incongruous and unwise that the United States should continue permanently a colonial status over many millions of human beings who had already shown a desire for independence. However, the United States and the leaders of the Philippine people soon undertook a long-time process of providing facilities in the islands for education and health and commerce and transportation, with the definite thought that the day would come when the people would be able to stand on their own feet. And at the same time, we granted them a greater and greater degree of local self-government. By the year 1934, sympathetic conferences between Philippine and American leaders reached the conclusion that the time for complete independence could be definitely set, to follow a 10-year period of complete local autonomy under a Commonwealth form of government with its own constitution. This status was duly set up in 1935 under the presidency of my old friend, Manuel Quezon. It succeeded so well that by December 7th, 1941, we were jointly at work preparing for the consummation of complete independence in 1946. Both nations and peoples had kept faith with each other during all these years. Confidence in each other's good faith was firmly established, and it was cemented into place during the bitter months of ordeal which followed the treachery of Japan. The brave peoples of the Philippines, their army and their civilians, stood shoulder to shoulder with the Americans in the fight against overwhelming odds, resolute to shed their blood in defense of their liberty. Richly do they deserve that liberty. I like to think that the history of the Philippine Islands in the last 44 years provides, in a very real sense, a pattern for the future of other small nations and peoples of the world. It is a pattern of what men of goodwill look forward to in the future, a pattern of a global civilization which recognizes no limitations of religion, of creed, or of race. But we must remember that such a pattern is based on two important factors. The first is that there shall be a period of preparation. Through the dissemination of education and the recognition and fulfillment of physical and social and economic needs. The second is that there be a period of training for ultimate independent sovereignty through the practice of more and more self-government, beginning with local government and passing on through the various steps to complete statehood. Even we in the United States did not arrive at full national independence until we had gone through the preliminary stages. the town meetings in the New England colonies, and the similar local organizations in other colonies, gradually led to county government and then to state government. That whole process of political training and development preceded the final formation of our permanent federal government in 1789. Such training for independence is essential to the stability of independence in almost every part of the world. Some peoples need more intensive training and longer years of it. Others require far less training and shorter periods of time. The recent history of the Philippines has been one of national cooperation and adjustment and development. We are sure now, if ever we doubted, that our government in the United States chose the right and the honorable course. The pattern which was followed there is essentially a part and parcel of the philosophy and the ideals of the United Nations. The doctrine which controls the ambitions and directs the ruthlessness of our enemies, that there is one master folk destined to rule all other peoples, is a doctrine now on its way to destruction for all time to come. The United States and the Philippines are already engaged in examining the practical economic problems of the future. When President Quezon and his government are reestablished in the capital of Manila, he and I, in conference last week, have agreed to set up a joint commission of our two countries to study the economic situation which will face the nation, which is soon to be, and work out means of preserving its stability and, above all, its security. This typifies, I think, the highest form of good faith. It exists wholeheartedly between our two governments. It does more than that. It is a realistic symbol of our grim determination and of our supreme confidence that we shall drive the Japanese army out of the Philippines to the last man. President Quezon, on this auspicious anniversary, I salute through you the people of the Philippine Islands. I salute their courage. I salute their independence.
Ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem of the United States.
This special Philippine Commonwealth Day broadcast marked the 7th anniversary of the creation of the Commonwealth of the Philippines. The speakers were President Franklin Delano Roosevelt of the United States, President Manuel Avila Camacho of Mexico, and President Manuel L. Quezon of the Philippines. Our Filipino singer was Miss Anya Gonzalez, accompanied by Mr. Rodolfo Conejo. Music was supplied by the United States Marine Band Orchestra, conducted by Captain William F. Santelman. This concludes the broadcast commemorating Philippine Commonwealth Day.
Ladies and gentlemen,